Good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to Pentecost. Before we get started with the announcements this morning, I was hoping you would join me in a brief moment of silence for the tragedy in Minneapolis this week and for all the people across the nation this morning who are hurt or scared or angry or grieving because of it. Thank you. There will be a prayer vigil for racial justice and healing in our nation hosted by the Union of Black Episcopalians over Zoom this afternoon. That'll be at 1 o'clock Pacific time. So we will be suspending our normal St. Luke's virtual peace gathering for today. They will meet again on Wednesday as usual. This gathering over Zoom will have prayers and personal witness that will be offered from a broad spectrum of people all across the Episcopal Church. Everyone is welcome, and we encourage you to attend. Thank you to Leanne for bringing this gathering to our attention. Our preacher this morning is Betsy Monat. Thank you to Reverend Betsy for being with us. Also in her sermon, she has offered up her contact information. So if you have any questions or thoughts on the sermon, she invites you to contact her and discuss it with her. And we want to thank her for that. It's been kind of a rough week in the news, and we appreciate this extra support. The one last thing I wanted to say before we continue with the service concerns the reopening of the church. I know many people have probably seen that Yolo County is now allowing churches to reform with some advance requirements on their part and under some pretty austere restrictions. The vestry is currently working on a reopening plan that we are putting together in conjunction with the county and in conversation with the diocese. We don't have a date for reopening at this point. We still have some concerns about the health and safety of our parishioners, but now we want to hear from you. So here's what we would like to do in the coming weeks. We're putting together a survey, so watch your email for that. And if you don't have email and you would like to get the survey another way, I encourage you to call the church office, or if you have problems getting the church email. I know some people have reported that they don't get the weekly emails, and if you have that situation, please contact the church office and either speak to Stacy or leave her a message, and we will find a way to get this information to you. We would like to hear your thoughts on how you would feel about regathering at this point. How you would feel about maybe regathering in a different format, maybe some small groups to get us started. These are some of the things we're talking about. We're also thinking about maybe having some sort of a town hall gathering, maybe over Zoom in the coming weeks, that we could discuss all of this together and get everybody's input. So those are the things that we're talking about. Thank you to the people who have already reached out to members of the vestry to discuss this, because we really do want your opinion, and we encourage you to keep making those phone calls and let us know how you feel. Thank you very much, and we will continue with the service. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them to the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish that, guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles 2:1-21. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Liberia belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 104, verses 25 through 35 and 37. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you, to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth, and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the work of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the one body is one body, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Here ends the reading. Friends, this is a hard sermon to preach, and it may be a hard sermon to hear. Under ordinary circumstances, I would hope to create an opportunity for discussion to follow up on today, but with shelter-in-place rules still in effect, we can't come together physically, I would like to offer the opportunity for a virtual conversation to anyone who would like. You can reach me either on my cell phone, 916-949-4380, or my email address, betseymonot@comcast.net, and we can set up individual or group discussions. We could make something available via Zoom or whatever would work. And my contact information is also available in the service bulletin today. And again, it is 916-949-4380 and email betseymonot@comcast.net. So here we are, celebrating one of the biggest feasts of the church year, Pentecost. Some call it the birthday of the church. We wear red, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in the form of tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit threw the disciples into a kind of a fit, and they spoke in languages that they didn't know, but that were the native languages of each of the people gathered there. It's a story that illustrates the power and the intention of God. The power of God to give people the ability to speak in languages that they don't know. The power of God to make God's truth understood despite human inability and frailty. And the intention of God to reach out beyond the current community, to reach out beyond one set of people, and to bring the good news to all of the world. And then the story shows us the human reaction to God's power and intention. Some people are amazed, asking how this miracle could have come about. And others sneer and claim that the disciples are drunk or babbling. And beyond the part of the story that we heard today, even the disciples who personally experienced the miracle of the tongues of fire still needed more prodding from God to get beyond their own internal prejudices and convictions. You see, even after this miracle, the unquestioned assumption among the disciples was that anyone who wanted to become a follower of Jesus needed first to convert to Judaism and follow the laws of the Torah, including circumcision and dietary laws. The disciples may have been able to see that God intended that the message of Jesus was for everyone, but they still couldn't recognize their own assumptions that what God really meant was that everyone was welcome to be just like them, the disciples. It took more revelation and more discussion and more work before the growing Christian community could accept that everyone could follow Jesus just the way they were without first needing to imitate the practices of the Jewish disciples. God's intention is that everyone hears the good news, regardless of where they come from, who their parents or ancestors are, what kind of work they do, anything. And human prejudice and blindness have been limiting God's intentions since the very first days. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth and tells them that they are all one in the Holy Spirit, no matter what external attributes seem to separate them from each other. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, that is, categories of people that in that time and place would have been regarded as absolutely different from each other and impossible to consider together as one body. Even the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives them are different: utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues, but they are all one body, despite the many obvious differences. And not only are they one body, but they need each other. They need each other to be complete, just as a human body needs all its parts to be complete. And friends, we are not so different from those Christians in Corinth. We, who came physically together to worship before the COVID-19 pandemic, are now worshiping separately in our own spaces. Still, we know that we are one body, even as we are separate. We are together. We are one. We are connected, even if we can't see and touch one another as we did before. And yet, in our community and in our society, there are barriers that we humans create that grieve the heart of God. For those of us who are white, these barriers make it almost impossible to see the day-to-day experiences of our siblings of color. We white people have a hard time imagining what it would be like to risk our lives just to take a walk in our own neighborhoods. We would be shocked to be arrested while we were simply going about our daily business and not doing anyone any harm. When we're driving, we can roll through stop signs or drive with a brake light that doesn't function without wondering if that minor infraction will result in a traffic stop that will result in our death. And it goes on and more. In the time of COVID-19, we have all heard reports about the disproportionate effects that the disease has on people of color compared with white people. The California Department of Public Health states, and this is a quote, "We have nearly complete data on race and ethnicity for COVID-19 deaths, and we are seeing the following trends. Overall, for adults 18 and older, Latinos, African Americans, and Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are dying at disproportionately higher levels. The proportion of COVID-19 deaths in African Americans is about double their population representation across all adult age categories. For Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, overall numbers are low, but there is a fourfold difference between the proportion of COVID-19 deaths and their population representation." That information is available on the website of the California Department of Public Health. Friends, the culture that we live in is a racist culture. The system that we live within is a racist system. It's easy for white people such as myself to shut our eyes to this reality, to enjoy our privilege without recognizing it for the injustice that it is. It is as though we need the Apostle Paul to write to us, all of us in America, to tell us what he told the Corinthians. We are one in the Holy Spirit. We need each other, and like a body, we need each other to be healthy and whole. If the knee joint or the gallbladder or the inner ear is sick or hurt, the whole body is affected. If one member of our society is sick or hurt, the whole body of our society is affected. We all need the gifts that we each have, and we all are diminished when one of us is diminished. Imagine for a moment a society where all are free to offer the gifts that the Holy Spirit entrusts to them. Imagine the richness, the vibrancy, the health. Imagine the dance of the Holy Spirit weaving her way among and within people of all races, colors, ages, and faiths,
among all people everywhere. Imagine the awesome possibilities that could be released if humanity were able to align ourselves with God's power and intentions. And remember Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit onto his disciples, telling them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Friends, we are sent. We are sent into the world by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, as the disciples were at Pentecost. We have a glimpse of the world that God would have us create around us. We can see in Minneapolis, we can see in other cities, we can see all around us. We can see the work that we have to do. Let us ask for God's blessing and God's strength as we do what we can to dismantle systemic racism and to set Christ's whole body free to live as God intends. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Prayers of the People. We will use Form 5, page 389 of the Book of Common Prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Michael, our presiding bishop, for Megan, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, we may live in joy and peace and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, especially Fred and Anton, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed St. Luke's, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God. To you, O Lord our God.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, hear the prayers of your people, and what we have asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.